Well, as we continue our series in prayer, let's pray. Father, we thank you that we can open your word today. We thank you that you have so much to say to us on this very important topic of prayer. Help me to explain it well and help us to understand the privilege that we have as we come before you. Amen. Well, sometimes making requests can be a very risky business. I remember seeing the movie Oliver Twist when I was very young, and Oliver building up the courage to step up and ask for more food in front of the most daunting of men, this big, bold, intimidating guy. "Please, sir, I want some more." "What? You want some more?" Fortunately, putting our request before God isn't quite as intimidating as that was for Oliver. Indeed, over the last 2 weeks, we've been looking at this topic of prayer, and we continued the theme today by asking the question, what happens when we pray, the process of prayer? What happens when we direct a prayer towards God? So first, we're going to ask, is the Father listening? And then second, what does the Father do with our prayers? And then thirdly, how should we respond to the answers that God gives to us? So three things for today. Is the Father listening? How does the Father process? What does he do with our prayers? And then thirdly, how should we respond to the answers that God gives to us? It's important that we understand what happens when we pray. Remember that the word prayer translates as request or intercession or petition. Prayer is making our requests known to our Heavenly Father. We often use the word prayer in a broader sense to talk about things like prayers of adoration and prayers of thanksgiving. But the underlying meaning of prayer in Scripture is making our requests known to our Heavenly Father. Well, let's turn to our first point. Is the Father listening? When I was young, I was always asking my dad for things. And Dad always listened, but he didn't always give me what I wanted. And I can see in hindsight that it would have been unloving for my dad to have given me everything that I asked for, especially at Christmas time. And if another kid was to seriously ask my dad for something, my dad would usually say, "Well, you go and ask your father." I had my dad's listening ear, and those outside my family did not, or at least in the same way as I did. Is our Heavenly Father listening? And I want to ask you, whose family do you belong to? For the gospel is the dividing line. As foreshadowed by the Old Testament sacrificial system, Christ bore the burden of God's anger against sinful humanity on the cross. As a sinless sacrifice, Christ did not have to pay the price for his own sin. Instead, he was able to bear the sins of others. As Jim Packer says, "Between us sinners and the thunderclouds of divine wrath stands the cross of the Lord Jesus. If we are Christ's through faith, then we are justified through his cross, and the wrath and his wrath will never touch us, neither here nor hereafter. Jesus delivers us," Packer says, "from the wrath to come. If we are Christ, the wrath of God, God's anger, will never touch us." Well, then, how do we come Christ's possession? How do we enter into this privilege of having God's anger deflected from us? How do we sidestep the wrath of God? Well, faith is not an undefined quantum, like it's a mystery illness or an irrational state of mind. Faith is the essence of any relationship. The backbone of any relationship is trust. And when we trust Jesus, we enter into a relationship with him. And this is a relationship that God invites us to enter into because our reliance upon Christ to deal with our sin brings us into fellowship with the Father. And so faith is not a mystery. It's simply relying upon someone who is trustworthy. Our faith does not save us. The one in whom we place our trust saves us from God's righteous anger and assures us of new life. Our faith links us to our Saviour. Unless we boast, in Ephesians 2, Paul says that even our faith is a gift from God. So I want to ask you again, is God listening? Well, whose family do you belong to? The scripture assures us that our Heavenly Father listens to our sons and daughters. Christ is the gateway into the family of God. You are a son or daughter in God's family on account of your reliance upon Christ. And indeed, Jesus encourages us to exercise this privilege of access to the Father in prayer. For example, Jesus shows his disciples how they should pray in the words of the Lord's Prayer. And again in Matthew 7:7-8, Jesus says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened." The Apostle Paul urges the church to pray, as he says in Philippians 4:6-7. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." The sons and daughters of God are urged to pray because their Father is listening. We are in his family and we have his ear. The glory of the gospel means that we have access to God. Hebrews 9:24 tells us that Jesus entered into the heavenly sanctuary to appear for us in God's presence. He is our intercessor. It is through Jesus that we have access to the Father. And then Romans 8:26 tells us that the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. The Spirit intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. The Spirit regenerates us and the Spirit moves us to pray. So do not think that because you come along to church that God automatically listens to your prayers, the mere fact that here you are sitting in a church. Do not think that your religious piety and your good deeds earn you a listening ear. For you can sit in church and not belong to church. Only through Christ and faith in him, trust in him, are you adopted into God's family. And if you have not approached God and sought his forgiveness through Christ, then the scriptures say, expect anger and judgment for your willful and persistent rebellion against him. And so prayer is a privilege not granted to everyone. Oh, the atheist or the agnostic may in desperation direct words to God, but there's no sense in scripture that prayers are heard outside of the family of God, that prayers are not heard by those who haven't trusted in the Lord Jesus, and so he is their intercessor. God is our Heavenly Father, and he listens to our prayers because we are his sons and daughters. But how has he promised to answer? What response should we expect? And this brings us to our next point. How does the Father answer prayer? Well, God always hears us in the sense that he listens to what we have to say, but he doesn't always hear in the sense of giving us what we want. God always hears, but he gives me what's best for me, not necessarily what I think's best for me. For example, when Jesus was in the garden, he prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." Was Jesus' prayer heard by the Father? Yes, of course it was. Did Jesus get what he wanted? No, he didn't. And so he went obediently to the cross. The writer to the Hebrews in Hebrews 5:7 reflects upon this moment. He says, "During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission." He was heard, Jesus was heard, but his answer to his prayer was no. God is willing to hear our prayers and he is able to answer them, but he may not, he may choose not to answer them. In the Son's shared humanity, his preference was not to die. No one wants to die, and Jesus prayed that if at all possible, that he might avoid death. And yet, as the son prays his anxieties, his desire is to glorify his father, yet not as I will, but as you will. The father heard his prayer, and for the sake of you and I, he chose not to grant his son's request. Jesus was assured his father heard his prayer in the garden, but it was no less heard because his prayer was not answered, and such is the case for us. When God hears our prayers, he may not give us what we ask for. So let's have a look again at that Matthew 7 passage. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? See, God will not give us a stone when we ask for bread. He will not give us a snake when we ask for fish. That's not God's character. He doesn't behave that way. We might not even understand that we are asking for a stone when we think we're asking for bread. God will not give you a stone. In our human condition, we cannot often tell and distinguish between stones and bread or fish from snakes. And so this name it and claim it approach to prayer totally misunderstands what Jesus is saying in this passage. Although God may not and probably will not give us everything we ask for, we trust that God is generous and that he will give according to our needs. However, he has promised to give to us what he has promised to give to us in his word. And so what are the promises of God we can pray, knowing that God will answer? Well, when we pray for forgiveness, God promises to forgive us as we forgive others. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. When we pray for wisdom, God promises to grant us wisdom. When we pray with thanksgiving in our hearts, God promises to guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. God will always give us what he's promised to give us. But when we pray our anxieties, God may or may not grant our requests. So then, how should we respond to the answers that God gives to us? We don't know exactly how God might answer if we're asking for things outside of his promises. Well, we have a loving Father who allows us into his presence on account of his grace and mercy. Now that we belong to him, how willing is he to answer our prayers, and how keen he is that we respond in love and with obedience. So no matter what answer to prayer we receive, we need to know at least these two things. First, God is working for the good of those who love him. We see this in Romans 8, 31 to 32. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? God is for us. He is working for the good of those who love him. Our limited perspective and sinful selves conspire to tell us at times that God is not always working for our own good. A friend of mine earlier in the year died a terribly painful death. And afterwards, I wrote to his lovely Christian wife. This is what I said. He understood from Romans 8 that creation groans as it waits for its redemption. Our bodies groan in terrible ways. But now he sees clearly, that is upon his death, and he understands why he endured his pain. But our pain cuts deep, and our prayers are with you. So there may have been, and there was, prayers to relieve his pain, but God chose not to relieve his pain. But now that he's gone on, moved on to be with the Lord, he understands why, and we need to comfort ourselves, we who remain, that God is working for our good. God is working for us. And then next, he is guarding our hearts and minds. Come again to Philippians 4, 6 to 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. When Israel was travelling through the wilderness, they feared the future. Their anxiety about the future led them to doubt the promises of God. They doubted God's goodness and the power of his presence amongst them. And they felt anything other than conquerors, although God had promised them victory as they entered into and occupied the promised land. There is an anxiety which will lead you away from the goodness of God. Therefore, know that the God of peace has promised to be with you, that the antidote to an anxiety-filled future is the assurance that the peace that we have with God can never be breached. Paul says this in verse 7, that the Lord is standing guard over our hearts and minds as we pray. The underlying picture here is a detachment of soldiers who stand guard over a city and they protect the city from attack. And as we bring our petitions to the Lord, God's peace will stand over and protect our hearts and minds from being overwhelmed by the trials and the temptations of this world. And after praying, you may have a quiet sense of peace that is a wonderful experience. But often as we pray, we feel as awful after prayer as we were before we started. Paul here is not promising warm, fuzzy feelings. He is promising that your relationship with God as you pray will not be compromised no matter how God chooses to answer our prayers. For if you are in Christ, you cannot be closer to God than you are now. You can't be any closer to God than you already are in Christ Jesus. Oh, sometimes your feelings will confirm this, sometimes they will not. But whether they do or whether they don't, you have access to God the Father through his Son, Jesus Christ. And so no matter how God answers your prayers, know that he is working for you, that he loves you, and that he is guarding your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And when Hudson Taylor was sailing to China to start his missionary work there, his ship was in great danger. The wind had died and the current was carrying them towards sunken reefs, which were close to islands inhabited by cannibals. Boy! The fact that they could see that the cannibals on the shore, and already these people were lighting fires in anticipation of a tasty meal. Everything they tried to do to avoid the island with the wind died down and the ship drifting there, it didn't work. And in his journal, Taylor recorded what happened next. The captain said to me, "Well, we have done everything that can be done." "A thought occurred to me," says Taylor. I replied, "No, there is one thing we have not done yet." "What is that?" the captain queried. "Well, four of us on board are Christians. Let us each retire to his own cabin and in agreed prayer ask the Lord to give us immediately a breeze." Well, Taylor went back to his cabin and he prayed briefly and then, certain that the answer was coming, went up on the deck and asked the first officer to let down the sails. "What would be the good of that?" the first officer replied rather abruptly. I told him that we have been asking for a wind from God, that it was coming immediately, within minutes though. Well, absolutely, within minutes, the wind began to blow and it carried them safely past the reefs. Taylor wrote, "Thus God encouraged me landing on China's shores to bring every variety of need to him in prayer and to expect that he would honour the name of the Lord Jesus and give us the help each emergency required." What happens when we pray? We honour the name of the Lord Jesus as we approach the throne room of our Heavenly Father, as we express our dependence upon God all honour and glory is given to him. So summing up, the gospel assures us that God hears our prayers as a loving father, that he listens to the prayers of his children. In his goodness, God may or may not grant our requests. On this occasion, he granted the requests of Taylor. But he hasn't promised always to do that. And we need to be careful and be aware that sometimes we ask for stones when we really mean to be asking for bread, and so God may leave our prayers unanswered. However God chooses to respond to our requests, we know that he is for us. He will never, ever be against us, that he will guard our hearts and minds, and by his Spirit ensure that nothing can separate us from his love. If we are men and women of faith, we will be men and women of prayer. Pray without ceasing, give God the glory, and receive the blessings from him, and then you will be truly Presbyterian. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you that you are there, that you are listening, and that you love us, and that as we pray for you, that you delight in receiving our prayers. Father, we are assured that you are listening, and we are assured that you deal with our prayers fairly and justly, and that you take what we pray seriously, and that when you choose not to answer, you do so because you love us and you care for us. And Father, we admit that in our ignorance, we do often not know what to pray, and we ask for stones instead of bread. Father, guard our hearts and minds. Give us your peace as we pray. Preserve us in relationship with you. And we pray, Father, that as we live our lives day by day and as we pray to you regularly, that you will strengthen our relationship with you, that you will give us this quiet assurance that you are there. Father, thank you that you have promised to answer prayer, and those promises are within your word. So, Lord, give us the wisdom to pray your promises, to ask you for what you delight in giving your people, and in that way we honour you. So, Father, we pray all these things through our intercessor's name, the Lord Jesus, who is at your right hand. We thank you for him. Hear our prayers, we pray. Amen. Well, we're going to listen to another song now.